Well, I want to talk a little bit tonight about the power and potential in the Ephesians 1:17 through chapter 21 prayer. How many of you pray this prayer? Do you pray it every day? You need to pray this prayer every day. And if you remember Coleman Lackey, remember he said pray it 3 times a day. But you need to at least pray it once. Amen. Believing you receive. Amen. You know, I have confessions that I speak every day. But you have to be careful that you don't just run through words. Amen. I remember one time in Malvern, give this quick little testimony. I was sitting there and I was confessing 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, where it says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that you always, having all sufficiency, are able to give, and the Amplified I was reading out of, and needing no aid or support from anyone, are able to give into every good work. And when I read that, I read that and prayed that every day. Yet we had moved up to Malvern and we were having some hard times. When we first got there, I mean, the Lord did some wonderful things. I mean, this lady let us move into this house and didn't charge us rent. I just worked on the house and put a bathroom in and did different things. And she had some other rental property. So I was able just to work on her stuff and that paid our rent. So it was a blessing. But we didn't have money for the kids to play sports and their lunches at schools. The first, you know, they started in a public school. And so the income level we were at, we were able to get free lunches, these things at the Boys Club called scholarships. So we had just done that. And I had gotten to the point where I just wanted to keep it that way because I didn't want to have to believe God for that. It was like I felt like I had enough burdens on me. I didn't want to have to try to believe God for that. So I just kind of left it that way. And that morning when I read that, the Lord, how many know he sets up divine appointments for our life? And that morning when I read that, it went off of me and the Lord said, son, I can't take you higher financially because you want poverty. And I saw it, man. I tell you, it went off in me. I jumped up from that desk and it happened to be. And see, I'm telling you, the Lord sets these things up. He knew exactly what he was going to do. I jumped up. Judah was there and it was time for their scholarships. Their sports were going to start in like 2 weeks. I called the Boys Club and I asked her and I said, well, I'll tell you what, we're not going to do those scholarships this year. I'm fixing to come down there and talk to you and we're going to make an arrangement. So I went down there. I said, if you just give me 2 weeks, I just don't want to do the scholarships thing anymore. And she said, that'll be fine. So on our way out, me and Judah go out of the door and here comes a UPS man toting a water fountain. And so I said, come on, Judah, let's go back in here. So I go back in. And he sets the water heater down there with the lady and signs the paper. And then I ask her, what are you fixing to do with that water? I mean, with that water cooler, water fountain. She said, well, I'm going to find somebody to install it. I said, that's me. I will install that for you right now. That'll pay for both my kids for this year. She said, sounds good to me. It took me about 15 minutes to install that water fountain. And the Lord paid me. And when I left there, the Lord said, now see, son, he said, you never look at what you have. And beloved, I'm telling you, God is wanting these things to happen on a regular, daily basis in our life. Amen. He's wanting supernatural. He's wanting money out of fishes' mouths. Hallelujah. Amen. He's wanting the feeding of 5,000 people with 2 loaves and 5 little fish. You see what I'm saying? He's wanting the miraculous. Has Jesus changed? We realize that this is his ministry, right? And that's why he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are the body of who? Is that Jesus' last name? No, it means what? anointed one. He wasn't Jesus Christ until he came out of the wilderness after being tempted 40 days. He was Jesus of Nazareth. Amen? When he came out, it says he came out full of the Spirit and in the power of the Spirit. He did not do one miracle up until that time. Amen? Because you know why? He couldn't. Now, I know that might shock you, but Jesus couldn't. You can go talk to him about it and you can ask him yourself. He told us in the Word, I of myself can do nothing. Amen? And when you begin to realize and look at Jesus' life with that mentality that Jesus could not do anything of himself. When you start reading the Bible and the Gospels with that light and you start watching his life and what he did, then you can see where he received light from God. He heard God. He saw what he was supposed to do. And then he went and did. And he told them in John 14, he says, the words that I speak to you are not my own. It's the Father in me that does the what? The work. So when he heard or when he saw what the Father told him, and then he said what the Father said, or did what the Father showed him, God did the work. Now, the reason Jesus lived that way is so we could live that way. He was the Son of God, but he laid all that down. Amen? And he became a servant. And he took upon himself flesh. Amen? Now, because he did that and he walked. Do you realize the Bible says that Jesus was able to offer himself without spot to God because he was the Son of God? Is that right? Nope. It's going to be some trick questions here tonight. No, that's not right. He was able to offer himself without spot to God because the Holy Spirit in him. Amen? That's why it's so important for us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We get saved and we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, but we got to get filled. Y'all are getting mad at me, it seems like. I'm telling you, when we don't read the Bible and look at it intently, we misquote it. And we don't see what God's really saying. I've really found in the last few years, I've been walking with the Lord for 30 years now, that the Bible's pretty simple. And I love to read it and take my time and just let the Lord open it up and speak it to me and reveal it to me. Just like I had been confessing those confessions, but I was missing it. It was just what? Words. Because if we don't come into intimacy with him and hear and see, it's when we hear his voice. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at what I was reading the other day and a few weeks ago, and the Lord just started speaking to me about the three things. I'd never really seen this before, but I just was praying that prayer real slow and just, and there's three things that Paul asked the Father to do in this prayer. And that's what we're going to look at today. So, and actually, I've got the wrong scripture there, but I think I got the right prayer. No, I don't. So we need to go to Ephesians first. Let's go there. Sorry, my notes are messed up. All right. Ephesians chapter 1. I don't know why I didn't put that scripture there. That's the main one. And verse 17. All right, here's what Paul said. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding, I like what the Living says. Being flooded with light. And here they are. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what is the, and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Amen. And the third one. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. And then it starts talking about according to what he did in Christ Jesus. Amen. So those are three things that Paul wants us. I want to look at this first part. Paul said that he prayed constantly that the Father of glory would give to us spiritual wisdom. Say spiritual wisdom. Not worldly wisdom, but spiritual wisdom. Amen? And insight to know God. Do we realize how important that is? See, when we just come to church, church is great, church is good, come to church. You need church. But that is just one part. We've got to have intimate throne time with God. We've got to get into the presence of God to where we begin to see God. Amen? And we begin to hear God. And the Word of God is revealed. Because what if we're going to be successful, and look what Peter said, we've got to know God. Amen? Know Him in an intimate way. I mean, we got to be having, it can't be one-sided. How many find your prayer life to be kind of one-sided sometime? Huh? See, it can't be that way. Beloved, not where we're living right now with God. It's got to be reciprocal. Amen? I tell you, in fact, it's better to listen than to speak. We're so quick about speaking. We get a little knowledge, a little word, and then we think, you know, I'm going to speak my faith. And we want to do those things. We want to speak. But it's more valuable and more important if we hear. Amen. See, getting the word in us is good because what that does is it creates the vocabulary of God on the inside of us. I was meditating on one night years ago when we would go after service for a little while and praise and worship and just linger in the presence of the Lord when Inga and I first came back. And one night we were doing that and the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, ask me for a new name for this city. Well, I knew that he wasn't just wanting me to make up a name. That was a scripture. I knew that was a scripture in my heart. So I went and I found it. And I found it in Isaiah 62 where it says, you will no longer be termed forsaken or your land desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah. And when he was giving that to me that night, this is what I was sensing in my heart, that we were such a delight to God, that he was delighting in us and rejoicing over us. And guess what Hephzibah means? To delight in. And Beulah means what? Married. Now that's good. See, because what the devil tries to get us to do is divorce things. Divorce our mate. Divorce our city. Divorce our church. Divorce our friends. Divorce relationships. Right? But he said your land will be married. Amen? So that we'll stand and fight for it. Amen? And we won't let the devil make ruin of our cities. The Bible says that he destroys and makes cities a wilderness, but God makes them a garden of Eden. Hallelujah. Amen. So if we want Camden to become a garden of Eden, what do we have to do? Somebody say it. We got to hear God. Amen. We've got to stand our watch and hear what he will answer us and tell us what he... Do you realize that this city wasn't the devil's idea? It wasn't men's idea. It was God's idea. And Jeremiah 33, I'm kind of getting all my message, but anyway, I'm going to go this way just a minute. Isaiah 33 says that I am the Lord that formed it. And I formed it to establish it. Amen? But we see that when we look at things out here in the natural, can we see some things that are out of order with the Word of God? Huh? But God didn't make them that way, did He? God's not causing all this mess in the world, is He? No. God formed it to establish it. So who's going to establish it? He is through who? Us. When we see, do you realize that's what Jesus did? Over and over and over again. I love to read about Him. I love to read and watch and see what He does. Because there was a day when everybody was going up to a feast. It wasn't Passover, but it was, I forgot what feast it was. And his brother said, "Are you going up?" And he said, "No, it's not my time. I'm not going up yet." So he let them all go up. And then he made a beeline to the pool of Bethesda. Now I can just see this big line of people doing what's traditional, doing what's, you're supposed to do, going to church and whatever. But I see Jesus, one person, and He just breaks free from that crowd and He just cuts across. I see Him at this big wall. He's just walking along and He comes to the place where the pool of Bethesda was. And who knows what He did there? There was a man that had been sick for 38 years. Now, did Jesus just do that? No. The Father revealed that to him. He didn't know there was a man at the pool of Bethesda that had been sick for 38 years until God said, "There's a man at the pool of Bethesda that's been there for 38 years and I want you to go heal him." And what did Jesus do? "Yes, sir." And he went. See, Jesus lived by assignment. He lived every day by assignment. What do you have for me to do today, Father? Forsaking his own will, his own desires. I tell you, church, we have gotten so, the church is, I want to watch my words because I don't want to speak negative again, but we're not on track like we should be. We're going out every day, working our jobs, doing our thing, blah, 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 and then coming home, watching television at night and going to bed and doing the same thing all over again. Coming to church on Sunday, coming to church on Wednesday. That's not the way God designed it. Working our jobs to get the money, to pay the bills, to get what we want, blah, blah. Do you see where that's messed up? Is that seeking first the kingdom of God? It's getting quiet in here. See, beloved, this is going to take some work to bring down these worldly mindsets of the way the church and we have been thinking till we begin to think like when we wake up in the morning, "Father, what is my assignment today? What? This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. What is my assignment to today?" Does that mean we got to quit our jobs? No. But your job and our jobs are not our source of supply that we've made them. They're not there so we can get all the good things we want. That is God's job. The Bible says He gives us richly all things to enjoy. But the Word says, "Let him who stole steal no more, but let him labor with his hands that he may have to give to those who are in need." Amen. See, we're the kingdom. We got to learn. We don't know how to operate in the kingdom of God. His way is seed and harvest. Give and it will be given. Not work and work and work and work and work and work and save and save and save. No, we got to learn how to operate in the kingdom system and to receive harvest. And not so we can get all the good. We don't have to seek those things. Because God will add them to us, he said. Amen. Now I'm preaching to myself too. But we don't have to seek after those things. We seek his kingdom and his way of doing and being right. God has a whole system. It's called the kingdom of God that we're supposed to know and learn how to operate in. It doesn't ever have any shortfall. Amen. There's never any lack. There's no limitations in it. Hallelujah. Is that not awesome? But we don't know these things. Why? Because we haven't seen it. Just because we read our Bibles, no, that's not enough. We've got to begin to see these things. That's why Paul prayed here. He constantly prayed that the eyes of our heart would be flooded with light so we could know what is the hope of his calling. What is that? The word hope means a cheerful expectation of good. Do we know why God called us? Well, he must have some reason or we'd have went on to be with Jesus. Because who wants to stay here in this nasty now and now world where there's pain and suffering and hurting? And right? Now, we're not escapists, but do you see what I'm saying? You know the world doesn't hold. I hope it's not holding glitter over anybody in here. You really see it for what it is. But we're here because God has a purpose for us. God has a plan for us before the foundation of the world. So here we see, let's read this in 1 Peter. May grace, and if somebody could get me some water, boy, I don't know why, but anyway. God's favor and his overwhelming desire to treat you as if sin never existed. And peace, perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts. How many of you would like some of that? See, that's what the world produces, those things right there. But be multiplied to you in the true and intimate and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. See, when we begin to know God intimately, it begins to separate us from agitating passions, fears. When we were in Malvern, I was ministering, and I was looking over the service. I was looking over the people. And all of a sudden, the Lord just said, son, if they could just see my face looking at them, every fear, every care, every worry would melt away. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, beloved, when we can look into the face of God, which is the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we begin to know him, and it's by grace. Say, it's by grace. For his divine power has bestowed upon us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness. So where is this, all this stuff God's put within us? I just told you. All this stuff God has given us, where did he put it? Come on, right here. Where's the kingdom within us? What I really wanted to mention on tonight, but it's going to take a long time. I am going to actually ask Brother Jerry about spirit, soul, and body. God has deposited within our spirit everything we need. And a lot of we don't even realize that we are an integrated system. We're spirit, soul, and body. We are a spirit that is clothed in a soul. That's who we are. Thank you, Brother Donald, very much. And only the Word of God can divide those two things. It takes the Word of God to separate and divide your spirit from your soul. So you've got to learn those two parts if you want to be successful. And then the other part that we all see, and if we're not careful, we look at people and we think, oh man, they need some help. No, you're just looking at that flesh, that carton. That's not them. Now you do see what's in them by what they do, but you don't know what's going on in there unless God reveals it. So they may be doing something that doesn't look right, but inside their hearts may be broken and they may be in bondage and crying out to be delivered and helped. So you don't ever look at, and we don't know people after the flesh. Amen? The way God made this thing, He put all of it on the inside of us. Now it's supposed to work itself out. It works itself out as we gain knowledge of God. Amen. And then it begins to permeate our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And our spirit will begin to govern that soul. And our mind begins to be renewed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we begin to think different, which is going to declare that we're going to act different. And then when we believe right, think right, act right, then our emotions begin to line up and be right. Amen. And then the flesh is to be crucified all the time. It is the least. And I think we may have that a little backwards. Huh? And we let our emotions rule us, which is the soul, or the mind rule us, or we let our flesh rule us. We walk by that thing at Walmart and them donuts start talking to us. We'll get off that. Okay. For my sake. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Look here. Who called us? Oh, He gave us these things, and here's how we get them. Through the true and personal knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. What has happened to man since Adam is we have forgotten our origin. Satan became Adam's God when he committed high treason. And he darkened man's soul. And man's spirit became dead. So it couldn't touch God. Now, our spirits have been born again. Did you notice a big change when you truly got born again? I did. I'm telling you, some things majorly changed. In fact, there was a group of state troopers that got together and said, "Man, I know God's real. Did you hear Brad Thomas got saved?" Yeah. All my friends said, "Oh, he's just got religion. He won't last." That was 30 something years ago. No, I didn't get religion. I met the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I've been listening to Him and following Him, and I'm His disciple. Amen. And I'm on my journey home, and in the process, I'm learning His purpose. Amen. Look here. "For by these He has bestowed on us His precious and exceedingly great promises of inexpressible value, so that by them you may escape from the moral decay that is in the world because of lust, so and be partakers of His divine nature." So God has given us exceeding great and precious promises that are invaluable. Yet we can let our Bible lay on the table and gather dust get our little scripture to speak, you know, or our little confession or whatever. And that appeases a religious mindset and thinking that I've done my little thing and now I'm going to go on about my day and do, you know, what I got to do. Am I talking to somebody? But see, that's not going to get it anymore, beloved, in where we're living and where we're headed and what the times we're living in. Because the days are going to wax evil and evil and evil. This world system is coming down. And you better, I don't even like to use that word, but you really need to examine and see which system you're in. And the thing about it is, you can't live in the worlds and try God's. It's all or nothing with God. If we're going to see powerful results of what His Word promises. Now, He's given us these exceeding great and precious promises. And as we get in them and as we meditate in them, as we think on them, as we look into them, what happens? We begin to know Him. And in knowing Him, we know who we are. Because He is our originator. We came from Him. Amen. He made us, Genesis 1:26 says, in His image and after His likeness. Speaking spirits. Amen. That have a soul. And you know, for years, the Lord's been talking about this. For years, we've not understood the soul. And so we've tried to, you know, push it to the side. Try to make it, or whatever, you know, we ignore it or whatever. But that's not what God, who gave us our soul? Amen. God gave it to us. And He gave it to us so we could contact this physical realm. If we didn't have a soul, it would be a really, you know, we'd just be like animals. Instinct. But He gave us a soul. We could contact this physical realm. And we're constantly trying to change the mind to get it to not look at things in this physical realm. But that's the only way it's designed to work. So it has to be renewed. Amen. So that it begins to think with the mind of Christ. Amen. And we begin to know and understand God and our origin, seeing who we are. Oh man, I'm telling you, there's an image that God wants to get back in our hearts. And that's why He put everything in us. So now we can know Him. Now our spirit is as pure and as righteous as long as we are in Christ. You're one spirit with the Lord Jesus. You're just like Jesus. I'm going to close with this. Jesus, by faith, died spiritually. He received our sin on that cross. The Bible says He was made sin. He became obedient unto death. He received death. Death became His God. He died. Went to hell. I hope you that doesn't bother you, but He did. So that we don't have to. And when what God did in the work, when He talks about in Ephesians there, 17, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ, God, because it was us, in God's eyes, when Jesus was buried, we were buried. When He died on that cross, we died. When He was buried, we were buried. And when God raised Him up on the third day, guess what? He raised Brett Thomas up. And if He did that, how many believe He did that? Now, if He did that, then I have to be made of the very same stuff Jesus is made of. Amen? Come on, think about it. When Jesus came out, every one of us came out. Hallelujah. Now you see why the law, I'm not worried about the law because I'm dead. I died to the law. It does not have power over me anymore. Now, I'm alive unto God. And I'm going to tell you, when I got born again, I believed in God. And I promise I'll quit right here. I believed in God all my life. I mean, I had times where we'd be drinking with 15 guys drinking. And I'd get the Bible out and sit down and start reading and talking. And what do y'all think about this? Because real, at like 10 or 11, I had an encounter back then when the Jesus movement was invited to this party and they all prayed for us. Well, God planted a seed there. And I got prayed the sinner's prayer, got baptized, but I went in a sinner and I came out a sinner. Why? Because there was no work of the Holy Spirit leading me to repentance. The goodness of God leads us. There was no desire to change. There was not a work. But I remember when the Holy Spirit began to convict me of my sin. And He didn't beat me over the head and tell me how bad I was and I was sorry, no good, nothing. No, I remember standing on the back porch of my friends and I sighted in my rifle and I heard myself talk for the first time. And every word almost was a cuss word. And this is how I felt. I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit, but I thought, man, I talk terrible. See, He didn't make me feel bad. He just convinced me that that's not the way to talk and live. And so I started staying home. And then, long story short, 700 Club. Prayed that prayer. Got born again. Then this God that I always believed in became very, very real and very, very tangible. Hallelujah. And He would fill my house because all I did was read my Bible and pray and spend time with God. I was a little extreme because my poor mom, bless, she was good to me. But I tell you, I was renting her house, didn't pay no rent. Lost my car, lost this. I didn't care because I just wanted Jesus. But I had to learn some wisdom. But I tell you, He became real. Now He's taught me. Amen. Stand to your feet. Beloved, I'm telling you, we have something so precious and so valuable. I'd encourage you. When you think about that, all this is on the inside of you. It's in your spirit. But you can't, you've got to, light, which we didn't get to give, because, man, it is so hard to get all this said. But anyway, you have to have light. You know how a camera works or even your eye works? A camera works by, there's a sensor, and then there's the aperture, and it opens up, and the more it opens, the more light comes in, and it's able to see the image. If you don't have enough light, the image is going to be dark. You won't be able to see it. So what has to happen is all this stuff is on the inside of us, but light has to come in to reveal it to us. And when we see it, has that ever happened to you? You're like, whoa! Did you see that? What? You didn't see that? What? Whatever. I saw it. And see, that's what revelation knowledge. But if we'll pray this prayer, if you'll determine today to pray this prayer and pray it in faith, believing, and then talk to God about it. Lord, what's the hope of your calling for me? Amen? What is the hope of your calling? This is what Jesus loves. Just start a conversation and let Him begin to expound on what is the hope of you. Then, what is the inheritance in the saints? What inheritance do I have? What am I called to do? The glory of what you want me to do? And then, what's your power that's available to me? Amen. And then just let the Lord. You got some things there. I put some of them there for you to get and look at. I encourage you to do that because I'm telling you, God will begin to give you light. and we can begin to see Him and know Him, and we can be set free from all the things. It's a process, but we can be set free. Because God never intended this thing to be, we get saved like the Galatians and then we try to finish the work in the flesh. It's by grace, through faith, and it's by the Holy Spirit. And we got to learn to fellowship and commune with the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. Let Him reveal the Word. Let Him open it up. Let us look into the face of Jesus. And when we see Him, we see us. Amen. Will y'all, I know I'm went a little bit long, but will y'all just pray with me for just a couple of minutes in the Holy Spirit? And let's just listen if the Lord wants to do anything. If not, we're going to be dismissed, okay? Oli mara da 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 ba don do 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 bo kura da 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 ma ke te ite te te re mandi ri na 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 ma kura do bo kura pa ka linden den den ban don do 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 bo kura da 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 ma ka te te li re 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 linden de re 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 ni ara 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 ma ko to ore de re 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 ni ni ara 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 ma ka ta. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just believe there's been some frustration and some discouragement in some people's lives. That could just about be all of us. But if it's really, if you're struggling with that and it's kind of overwhelming you, I want you to come down right now. Frustration with things that maybe you see and it just doesn't seem to be working, or you're not, or just being discouraged about things, your walk with God, where you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.